William Wallace had nothing on the Two Guys Talking Terminator podcast. Join Two Guys as they bring home true entertainment freedom on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to these hallowed walls, fellow patricians and plebes. I'd like to continue with some thoughts on our stewardship responsibilities for the planet Earth. To wit, the concept that our urban centers destroy wildlife habitat. The main complaint in our continuing need to demonstrate how harmful humans are to this planet, is that called self-flagellation? Is that the expansion of our cities and our surrounding suburbs have destroyed thousands of acres of wetlands, prairies, farmlands, and forest, all areas critical to the preservation of our wildlife. The drumbeat of species destruction is allegedly forever linked to the continuing sound of hammer and nail as urban areas expand. This would be to provide safe housing for the annual increases of the human population, but we all know they can take care of themselves. Somewhere along the road to be awarded stewardships for the planet Earth, it was made clear to us, uninformed, that we are all assigned responsibility to ensure that no current species of animal be allowed to go extinct. It follows that if we encroach on animal habitat, we have, of course, begun the first step to annihilating the species of the animals that live there. Right? Here's some thoughts to consider. To begin with, many species of animals have gone extinct without our help. I believe it's a process called natural selection. Just because man was the culprit in the demise of the dodo bird does not make him a species serial killer, systematically removing many whole groups of animals from our planet in his greedy quest for land and edible meat. A key factor that's been overlooked, perhaps on purpose, is the animal's inherent ability to adapt to its changing environment. Newsflash! Many of the animals that lived in the forest or fields that were turned under to become housing tracts return to that same area after the dust has settled. It takes them about one day to figure out that suburban homeowners don't want to kill or eat them. In fact, many folks put food out for them so they'll hang around. They take pictures of the wild animals eating nuts and corn in their backyard. They even name some of the animals as they return again and again for free food. To fine-tune this picture, I live in a dense city environment. Our home is within 30 feet of our neighbors. Our lawn is smaller than some folks' basements, but guess what? Here is our inventory of misplaced animals that live on this property. Raccoons, possums, chipmunks, squirrels, rabbits, mice, doves, hawks, crows, and feral cats. Many of our northern suburbs have resident deer, too. They all look fat and happy to me. Everything runs along smoothly until the animals start dicking around with the humans' garden and personal property. Have you had any success at scolding a squirrel for digging in your favorite rare potted rose and tipping it over when you come outside to reason with him? Do you really think that saber-toothed possum cares where your property stakes are and then promises to only dig in the neighbor's garbage bin? No. Wild animals don't care about such niceties. So you have two choices when all is said and done. Choice one, buy Army surplus nightscope attached to neighbor-friendly air rifle. Lie in wait at night as you pick these interlopers off one by one and bury them in the rose garden. Do you get the symmetry here? Or choice two, you feign an attitude of total indifference. No eye contact, no hand clapping, no yelling, as you allow them to do pretty much whatever they want, knowing electrical wire is off limits due to fire hazard. Couldn't they, like, go get Cinderella's carriage ready for the ball or something. Or maybe the wonderful world of Disney isn't all that wonderful after all.